Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck, and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. This week, we head to Vienna to hear the story of the slightly odd, but architecturally interesting, Hundertwasser House. Here's Monocle's executive editor, Josh Fennett, with more.
Friedensreich Hundertwasser was always fascinated by molehills. In 1964, the eccentric Austrian artist and later architect daubed a picture that he called, in typically loquacious fashion, the Seven Prosperous Years of the Mole. This colourful canvas reveals a chamber of concentric rooms built beneath the ground. Like much of his work, it's fanciful, naive, and not that simple to decipher. But it's also a good starting point to understand how this outspoken and at times outrageous thinker's ideas moved beyond his colourful artworks and outbursts into some of the strangest buildings you're ever likely to stumble across. Born in Vienna in 1928 as Friedrich Stowasser, Friedrichensreich Hundertwasser, a name literally meaning Peace Realm Hundred Water in German, was a painter before he ever made his mark on the built environment. By the 1950s, the artist was penning screeds and mounting demonstrations against the state of architecture. Hundertwasser suggested that people were forced to live in coops like rabbits or chickens. He also argued that architecture had become criminally sterile, and most provocatively, that the straight line itself was godless and immoral. Few in the world of architecture took Hundertwasser's rantings all that seriously. The bearded oddball could often be seen in pinstriped flares, self-made shoes, and usually a peaked baker's cap, ranting about trees. In one series of lectures in the late 1960s, he administered his addresses about the downfall of civilization and saving the whales whilst completely naked. It's all the more surprising then that Austria's Chancellor took the time in 1977, perhaps having seen Hundertwasser's increasingly popular architectural models, to send a letter to the mayor of Vienna, encouraging the latter to take a punt on Hundertwasser and allow him to build something after all. The bold move gave rise to the subject of today's tale and the building of Vienna's Hundertwasser House. Located in an unassuming stretch of Landstrasse, a pebble's skim from the Danube Canal, this apartment building was built by Hundertwasser and the architect Joseph Cravener between 1983 and 1985. The collaboration brought about one of the most unusual buildings ever realised. Yes, there are the 53 apartments, 4 offices and 16 private terraces, but every facet of the strange, swirling Dr. Seuss-esque creation was a statement of Hundertwasser's architectural intent. Like the molehills he'd admired, Hundertwasser's homes seemed to rise from the earth, with trees and bushes emerging from within and grassy roofs wrought in natural curves. The trees were more than decoration, though. The artist dubbed them as tenants and a vital part of his brand of organic architecture. He created intentionally uneven floors to stimulate the experience of walking outdoors and encourage those walkers to think about their footing as well as where they were going. Hundertwasser was also an avid exponent of what he called window rights. The prerogative of tenants to customise the facade of the building, the bits within reach of their window anyway, in any way that they chose. Another way of hitting out against what he saw as the impersonality of standardised architecture. He wanted people to reclaim their place as the centrepieces of the built environment, and, more broadly, within nature too. Hundertwasser went on to build throughout Austria, Germany, Switzerland, plus a smattering of edifices in Japan and the US, before passing away in the year 2000. Today, the Hundertwasser House is a museum to the master's work, complete with a gift shop and cafe, and, perhaps unexpectedly, it's one of Vienna's most popular buildings. The mistake one shouldn't make when visiting the structure, however, is to dismiss it as novelty, or even oddity, though many of the artist's ideas were odd and novel, to say the least. Hundertwasser took architectural influences where he could, from Antonio Gaudi's work in Barcelona to Watt's Tower in Los Angeles, and of course the natural world. He also upended existing architectural wisdom. He hit out for the free expression and presaged a fair few important ecological concerns that contemporary architects are still scrambling to keep up with. Despite his influence on art and architecture, Hundertwasser was delightfully unsentimental about his own work. He refused payment for the design of the Hundertwasser house entirely, claiming that he was happy to offer his services simply to have prevented something ugly going up on the site instead. For my part, I'm sure that this unusual, otherworldly reimagining of the architectural landscape has given the world altogether more to think about than Hundertwasser claimed. To dust off and reimagine an old idiom, there's still a mountain of inspiration to be mined from this very intriguing molehill.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. And our thanks to Josh Fennett for today's episode. Remember to tune in every Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. And also don't forget to buy The Monocle Guide to Building Better Cities, our mighty book about urbanism that's available from monocle.com. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, city lovers.